So we are continuing with our discussion on the six opulences of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and till now we discussed the opulences of we started with the opulence of beauty, then wisdom, then strength, knowledge, strength, fame, and wealth we discussed. Today we will discuss about renunciation. And Sarvam Bhattacharya, while glorifying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, says that he has come to teach Vairagya Vidya. There is the famous verse which is a part of his Sarvabhauma Shatak. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartham Ekah Purushah Puranah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Krupam Budhir Yastamaham Prapadde. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that same Supreme Lord who has come now to teach Vairagya Vidya, the knowledge of renunciation, which is non different from Bhakti Yoga unto himself. And generally speaking, renunciation may not seem to be a universally attractive opulence. Almost everyone is attracted to wealth, almost everyone is attracted to beauty. But you know, if especially in modern society we see renunciation, people may feel, oh, this person has just run away from society, this person is just a responsible person. Yes, of course, there are within the devotee community or within the community of those who are spiritually minded, renunciation is valued and appreciated. But what about otherwise? So, how can we say that renunciation is the opulence that attracts everyone? Actually, renunciation may not be attractive to everyone, but the fruits of renunciation is attractive to everyone. What is the fruit of renunciation? That is peace. In the Bhagavad Gita 12th chapter, 11th verse, Lord Krishna describes that tyaga shantir anantaram. That by tyaga, by renunciation, one, what does one get? Shanti, peace. And what kind of peace? Anantaram. That which has no end. Constant peace one gets. So, people may not be attracted to renunciation, but they are indeed attracted to peace. They all want they all want to actually join in the peaceful state of mind which a person who is having. That's why, you know, sometimes in even in corporate circles people say, oh, this person says so cool. No, even sports like cricket, Hare Krishna, Srinath Prabhu, Chetan Prabhu seems to be calling. I don't know from where he is calling, but it's saying over here that if we add him, then it will put this call on hold. You have his ID? See, Chetan Prabhu is also saying we are devotees from Bangalore. Rambabu Prabhu is the same group or different group? Okay. Okay, here is the ID, Prabhu. You can try to add him, Srinath Prabhu. So, we were discussing about renunciation may not be attractive, but the fruit of renunciation is attractive. That is peace. And even in a competitive game like cricket, if under a high pressure situation with a large, suppose the last overs are there in the cricket match, and if some players stay very cool, then they are very much appreciated and glorified. He has a cool head, he has nerves of steel, he has, you know, and those who choke under pressure, you know, they are criticized as chokers or collapsers or things like that. So the ability to stay calm is something which is universally valued, and that ability to stay cool and calm under all circumstances is a fruit of renunciation. So renunciation does not necessarily mean absence of emotions. It means the control of emotions. If emotions were absent, then there would be no joy to life. All of it would be like stones. But when there is the ability to control one's emotions and express them in the right way, then that is actually appreciated. So even a cricketer who is under stress because the final overs are coming, if he manages to stay cool, it's not that he is detached, he very much wants to win the match. But if he can stay cool and calm, that is appreciated. So renunciation in and of itself does not mean that one doesn't care for the world. One doesn't care for anything. No, renunciation means that one cares for something higher, something more valuable. Sometimes people think that because if they see a person who has renounced the world, they think that oh, this person must have not been able to happy in life, successfully, he could not achieve the things in life. That's why he was not able to get the joy of life, and that's why he turned away and he went away to renounce the world. So people think that generally when materialistic people, when people are not able to succeed in material life, then they turn and they renounce the world and they become renunciates. However, true renunciation comes not because one is frustrated with material life. If that is the motive why one is renouncing the world, then he has not really developed the opulence of renunciation, the quality of renunciation. What he has developed is simply frustration. So renunciation comes from the conviction that there must be something more to life than its material pleasures. Because the material pleasures are so temporary, and we, by our very nature, are eternal. Therefore, when a person has the faith that there must be something higher to life, then at that time, a person is able to develop renunciation. So just like, you know, when a child is playing and the parents tell him to study. Now, it's not that he doesn't like his toys. He does like his toys, but at that time he feels that his parents feel that he should actually study, because studying is of a more long-term value for you. So similarly, in the spiritual life, yes, there is material life and there is sense gratification, which is nice at one level. Nice in the sense that it is necessary for everyone. As long as people are conditioned, we need to eat, we need to sleep. Most people also need, to some extent, some sexual gratification. So there is the facility for that. But beyond that, when a person understands these in itself do not make me happy, they do not make for a fulfilling life, then a person develops a higher values, a higher goal for life. So renunciation does not mean not caring for anything. Renunciation means caring for things in a proper perspective. So is a student renounced when he actually is giving up toys? You can say he's renounced, but he's not renounced in the sense that he has developed a higher attachment. He has developed a higher value system where he knows that studies are of greater importance than playing. And so by developing that higher taste, he gives up the lower taste. So actually, that's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, especially Sanatana Goswami, he differentiates between Falgu Vairagya and Yukta Vairagya. Falgu Vairagya means, oh, something is of no use to me, let me give it up. But okay, it may not be used for me at a material level, but what about at a spiritual level? What about at the level of serving Krishna? So when one has that higher vision, then that is complete renunciation. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibits both these aspects of renunciation. One aspect is detachment from everything material, and the second aspect is attachment to everything spiritual, attachment to something higher. So because renunciation is a very important opulence, we will discuss both these aspects in detail. So we know Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at a very young age renounced the world. When he was only 24 years old, he exhibited the extraordinary opulence of renunciation by leaving everything material. Now again, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had no frustration in his family life. It was not that his wife quarrelled with him and he found the life is so disagreeable, so just let me quit home. Now it is described that Vishnupriya would not, you know, she was the most submissive and chaste and attractive of all women, and she would serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very, very faithfully and diligently. So it is not because of family frustration that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, renounced the world. Nor was sometimes people just either they lose their job and they find that it's too difficult to get a new job, or that either the job demands too much work, so better let me renounce. They are frustrated with their career. Was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu frustrated with his career? No. He was at the age of 14 itself, he was such a, in English the word is precocious. Precocious means one who is intelligent beyond his age. So he was so precocious. At the age of 14, when normally students are just finishing their school, then they want to go into college, junior college at that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his own institute, teaching institute. He had not only learned everything, he was teaching students. And hundreds of students came to him. And he was so loud and so popular among his students that even his students would challenge and defeat other pundits. And just like if a person is a professor at one particular college and if he is invited to give guest talks at some other place, then that is considered also a great honor. That means it's a proof of his learning. So similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was invited to go to what is now Bangladesh. And when he went there, he educated those people over there so nicely in such a short time that they gave him lot of Lakshmi and gifts and donations. You know, Brahmana lives on charity. So even from an economical point of view, it was a very rewarding trip. Even from a career point of view, you know, it increased his fame far and wide. Now, for a teacher to be invited, and like just like in our colleges also, sometimes people invite. Some professor from America is coming. So the institute itself is considered as an honor that we are inviting somebody from abroad. And not only that, they will not invite any ordinary Tom, Dick and Harry. They will invite some respectable person. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was invited like that to Bangladesh, and he went and had a very successful tour of education over there. So he did not have any family problems, he did not have any financial problems, he did not have any career problems. And not only that, was there any problem in his friend circle? No. All the devotees over there loved him. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why did he renounce? He exhibited the opposite. So when there is reason, when there is frustration with material life, and that time one renounces, then to some extent that is Smashan Vairagya. Okay, somebody has passed away, so life is temporary, we should become detached. So when there is external impetus for renunciation, when there is external frustration with material life and one renounces, that is actually to some extent natural. That is not considered so much the opulence of renunciation. But when one has no reason to renounce and at that time one renounces, that is considered to be a great opulence. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited that. He had no frustration with any aspect of his life from the material point of view. But from the spiritual point of view, he considered that I have to deliver the whole world. But if I am in the householder order, then people will not respect me. And if they don't respect me, then they will not be delivered. So even if they don't respect me as the Supreme Lord, at least if they respect me as the as a sannyasi, then they will be elevated. So when he saw that the Brahmanas there were thinking this Nimaya Pandit is just one like one of us. Okay, he may be a little more scholarly, but just another Brahmin. Why should we care for him? So they were not ready to respect him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want the respect for himself. He wanted the respect for their elevation, for their spiritual well-being. So at that time, you know, he just left everything. He went to Khatwa, took the sannyas from Kesha Bharati Maharaj and just left. He wanted to go to Vrindavan, but by the arrangement of Nityananda Prabhu, he came to Advaita Acharya's house and at the request of Nimai of Mother Shachi, he went to Jagannath Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this way he renounced, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Gauranga Shatanam described this. He says that Shri Krishna Chaitanya Chandra Bharati Tarana Parivraja Shiromani Utkalha Pavana. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Chandra. So he became Chandra, he became a moon. You know, his earlier name was Nimai Pandit. After sannyasi got the name Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya. So Prabhupada explains, Shri Krishna Chaitanya means Krishna is Krishna, Chaitanya is consciousness. So Krishna consciousness. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personified Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, are all of you able to hear me? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if any of you is not able to hear, please type a message so that Srinath Prabhu can do the necessary adjustment. Yeah. Thank you. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so one aspect of renunciation is that one just leaves everything that one loves and everything, everywhere that one is loved, and just leaves home. Now to some extent for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, he would travel all alone. He did not even want any associate with him. When, but at the request of devotees, when he went to South India, he took Kal Krishnadas with him, and when he went to North India, he took Balabhadra Bhattacharya. But he did not want to take anyone with him also for his service or for his assistance. And he would travel on foot, going wherever his heart prompted. Actually, he had a plan to deliver people both in South India and North India. Now, his renunciation was so great that he would not even, as it is said that, even when the Vaishnavis, the wives of the great Vaishnava like Srivast Thakur, Advaita Acharya and others would come, they would offer him respects from a distance. And we know how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so heavy with Chota Haridas for a small mistake. Now why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do like that? Bhakti Sanatana Thakur explains, to instruct everyone. But even this is a opulence of renunciation. Just like if you are in a college and some professor is very strict, you know, you have to come on time for the class. Now some people may like it, some people may like that strictness, most people will not like that strictness, because everybody just wants to act the way they want. But strictness is something, we can talk against it, we can talk for it. But if a person is strict and we have to deal with it, we cannot avoid talking about it. You know, we have to deal with the strictness. So in that sense, even that strictness is opulence. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was himself very strict. And we also know how one time when he was at Jagannath Puri, suddenly he heard Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govinda being sung in a very sweet and melodious voice. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be so attracted to any Krishna Katha. He would feel so grateful to the person who was speaking Krishna Katha, that you are allowing me to remember Krishna, that he would immediately want to go and embrace that person. We know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't even want to see Pratap Rudra during the Jathyatra. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell at one time, and Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya were not there close by. Nityananda Prabhu or Kashishwar Pandit, who would normally protect Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were not there close by. at that time Pratapudra Maharaj caught Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so that he would not fall. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to external consciousness, he said, oh, this is a king. He felt as if he had been contaminated by the touch of the king, and he went away. So he did not even want to touch the be touched by the king. But the same Maharaj Pratapudra in Jagannath Vallabh Gardens, when he started speaking the glories of Lord Krishna, the Gopi Geet, the 31st chapter of the Gopi of the Ras Panchadhyaya, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so ecstatic that he got up and embraced him and started thinking, Bhuridajana, you are the great well-wisher of mine. So similarly, here when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the Geet Govind, he felt so happy and grateful to the person who was singing Geet Govind, he started running towards that person to embrace that person. And unfortunately, this person was a woman. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so much in a transcendental consciousness, just like Ramananda Rai, when he was decorating those Devi Dasis, he was not even conscious that they were women, because he was at a spiritual level of consciousness. He was thinking of himself as Vishakha Sakhi, and these Devi Dasis as Krishna's gopis. So similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was himself thinking of himself as Radharani, and he was thinking that whoever is speaking this glories of Krishna is also a devotee of Krishna. So he just ran toward that person, and Govinda, who was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal servant, ran after him and trying to stop him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was completely blinded, deafened practically speaking, and he didn't hear anything. And finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda came right next to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and shouted in his ear, "It is a woman, it is a..." And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running at high speed, and he stopped as if he had been frozen, as if he had turned to stone. Generally, if a person is running very fast, it takes time for him to stop. The momentum is there. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stopped as if he had frozen. And he said that, "Govinda, today you have saved my life. You know, if as a sannyasi I had touched a woman, I would not have been able to live." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited that strictness, that a sannyasi should keep a distance from the woman. So we see his renunciation, first of all, in keeping a distance from women. At the same time, we also see his renunciation in the sense of keeping distance from wealth and wealthy people. I was just telling about Maharaj Pratapudra. So the king wanted to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused. He not only refused, when the devotees insisted, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I will leave Jagannath Puri and go away from here." So normally speaking, you know, if somebody is very wealthy or famous, people, everybody wants to go and meet him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I have nothing to do. I don't want to meet him at all." So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's renunciation, that the king wants to meet, but he doesn't want to meet the king. So generally wealth and women are the things that attract people in this world. Renunciation means renunciation from wealth and renunciation from women. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited both of them. Now, but we look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, it's very interesting that Ramananda Rai was also living like a king, like an aristocrat. You know, he was the governor of Madras, and as the governor of Madras, even when he came to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or when he came at the banks of the Kaveri River, where he was staying in Vidyanagar. That time it was called Vidyanagar, now the place is called as Kavur. And you know, it's also called as Rajmandri, and just in that area devotees have built a very beautiful temple with all the Shavataras. So in that area itself. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was near the banks of the of the river, at that time Ramananda Rai came, and there were many dozens of Brahmins behind him, there were bodyguards, there were attendants. And he came to offer his respects to the river, and then he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he went to offer his respects to the sannyasi. And as you know, Ramananda Rai is Vishakha Sakhi and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radharani. So when both of them met each other, they embraced each other, and everybody was very surprised. The Brahmanas were surprised from both a spiritual perspective and a material perspective. From a material perspective, you know, a king, you know, he may offer respects from a distance to a sannyasi, but a king will rarely go and embrace a sannyasi. On top of that, an unknown sannyasi over there, and Ramandra is a very wealthy and powerful person over there. So from a material perspective, it is very strange that a king is embracing a sannyasi and crying tears. And similarly, from a spiritual perspective, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sannyasi, a sannyasi normally doesn't associate so closely with wealthy people. On top of that, Ramananda is not only a wealthy person, aristocratic person, but he's also a Shudra. So how can the sannyasi embrace this Shudra? So from the material worldly perspective as well as from the Shastric perspective, the Brahmins were very surprised to see this. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda were in their own world. And finally, after embracing both each other for a long time, then they noticed the puzzlement that was there on the faces of the Brahmanas. And then they restrained their emotions. So, here we see this something very surprising, that renunciation is exhibited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Prataprutra. But why is he not exhibiting the same renunciation with Ramananda? So, Ramananda is also a governor. Now, so ultimately the Lord has his own plans. And Ramananda is exhibiting the mood of a gopi over here, mood of a sakhi. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is reciprocating with him at that level. So, renunciation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibits it, but he also exhibits it according to time, place, circumstance. See, that means, now we may say that Radhishyam Prabhu once asked Radhanath Maharaj this question, that, you know, we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strict while meeting with a king, but we see nowadays in ISKCON, you know, when we want to build temples, we have to go to wealthy people. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want to meet the king because he was wealthy people, whereas we, even as brahmacharis, when we have to do fundraising, we have to go and take appointment and go and meet the wealthy people. So how are we wealthy people or famous people or influential people? We go and meet them. So how do we reconcile this? Are we really following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So Radhanath Maharaj replied that yes, you know, we have to understand the principle that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught through the acharyas. And for us, our foremost example of the acharya to emulate is not the six Goswamis. Yes, we want to emulate them also, but our foremost example is Srila Prabhupada. And we see Srila Prabhupada, you know, he was a sannyasi, but he went to meet the king. In fact, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want to meet a king, and he did not want to meet a woman. But Srila Prabhupada went and met Indira Gandhi, who was a king and a woman. She was a lady head of state. And Srila Prabhupada was in America with a busy preaching tour, and he cancelled that tour so that he could come to meet Indira Gandhi. So was Srila Prabhupada not following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? No. So that's why when we say we have to follow in the footsteps, follow the example, it means to go deep. So when if we look at the Chaitanya Charitamrita carefully, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's refusal to meet Prataprudra is mentioned in chapter 10 of the Madhya Leela. Chapter 10, 11, 12, and 13 and 14, these actually describe the repeated refusal of Prataprudra, but then finally his eventual acceptance. So these chapters describe how Prataprudra ascends from failure to failure to failure to eventually to success. Stepping stones to success, how eventually gradually is accepted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the point is, if we read that section of Chaitanya Charitamrita carefully, the reason why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't want to meet King Prataprudra is because of the bad reputation that it will create for a sannyasi. So, you know, in the Vedic times, a sannyasi is one who is renounced, and he should be seen to be renounced. So, he should be seen to be renounced means that he should not be seen hobnobbing with wealthy people, he should not be seen dallying with women. And of course, it's not just that he should not be seen, not that he is not visible, but he invisibly does these things. But basically, he should not do it privately, and he should not do it publicly also. Why? Because for a sannyasi, his reputation is very important. Now, this is interesting that generally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, amanina manadena, that one should not expect any respect from others. Now, on one side, he is saying that we should not expect any respect from others, then why should we consider that a reputation for a sannyasi is important? When Jagadananda Pandit would try to give him very fragrant and opulent oil for massaging his body, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I am a sannyasi. You know, if I apply oil on this my body, what will people think? Sannyasi ralpachidra sarva loka gaye. Shukla vastram ichche bindu yaiche lukaye. He said, just as a white cloth, a tiny black spot stands out like that, even a small fault of a sannyasi will be seen. What is a small fault? It is attachment. Attachment to anything worldly, anything opulent. So the whole world will laugh at me. The whole world will criticize me. So even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Advaita Acharya when he is in Navadvip. You know, he and Jimata are discussing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you know, it is not appropriate for me to stay in Navadvip after taking sannyas. But at the same time, I don't want to hurt my mother further. What should I do? So Sachimata says, and it will give me great joy if Nimai stays at the house. But at the same time, you know, if people criticize him, that will cause my joy, heart, great pain. Therefore, in order that he not be criticized, let him not stay here. Let him not go to Vrindavan because it's so far away. Let him go to Puri. So the point here through these examples and incidents I'm telling is that, you know, public opinion is shown to be very important for a sannyasi. Why is that? Because a sannyasi is primarily a preacher. And for a preacher, for his message to be respected, he needs to be respected also. A preacher does not want respect for himself, but a preacher wants respect for his message. Because if there is no respect for the message, people will not take the message in a submissive spirit, and then they will not be benefited by that message. So when Srila Prabhupada came to India, some of his Mataji disciples, Srimati Mataji and another Mataji, they had gone to Jaipur to arrange for the duties. And when they were in Jaipur, every day they would go to Radha Govind temple and they would take darshan for a long time and sing Hare Krishna over there. And the local people of Jaipur were very impressed because these were western bodied women. They were dressed in sari, which was itself surprising, and they were singing prayers, Hare Krishna Mahamantra to Radha Govind with such devotion for such a long time. So they were very pleased. And they were very inspired. They said, you know, we would like to do something for you. What can you do? What can we do? So they said that, you know, you can get Prabhupada over here and arrange a big program for him. So they agreed. And then when Prabhupada came there, these Matajis themselves had done all the arrangement of the program, the publicity and everything. So Prabhupada was very pleased. He said, just see these Matajis, they are also organized, like their male godbrothers, they are also taking so much responsibility in the mission. But when Prabhupada came there, they had made the pamphlets. So I said, Bhaktivedanta Swami with his foreign disciples is coming here. He's going to give programs. So Prabhupada said, why have you written only foreign? You should write American and European disciples. Because in foreign, there is Africa also. If somebody has gone to Africa, that is not, somebody has African disciples, that is not all that respectable. So Prabhupada said, write American and European disciples. Why? Because Europe had ruled India and America was the was the emerging world power after the Second World War, was the main world power apart from Russia at that time, USSR. So now here we say, is Prabhupada hungry for honor? He's not satisfied saying foreign disciples, he's saying, American and European disciples, so specific. So why is that? Because Srila Prabhupada wanted that the message that he gave be respected. Oh, this message has been heard by and has impressed Americans and Europeans, then surely it must be an important message. So people will hear that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like that, he wanted his message to be respected. and that's why he avoided meeting Ramanand Rai, because in that culture at that time, a sannyasi's mixing with a king would have contaminated the reputation. Oh, this sannyasi is hobnobbing with a king. That would have contaminated the reputation of the sannyasi. But now, in modern society, because at that time, the sannyasis were valued for their own right. Oh, sannyasi comes. A sannyasi is considered great because he's renounced the world. In fact, he's considered greater than a king. That's why the kings would often go to meet the sannyasis in the forest and take their association. And the kings would honor the sages if they would come to the forest, to the palaces very much. So in that culture, sannyasi was considered greater than a king. Both were considered maharajas, but the maharaj who had conquered his senses was considered greater than the maharaj who had conquered a kingdom. So at that time, for a king to be associated with sannyasi was enhancing the respect of the king. For a sannyasi to associate with the king was downgrading his respect. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want that. But because the values have changed so much in Kali Yuga, people don't respect sannyasi at all. They think a sannyasi is just a parasite of society or something like that. So now in modern society, a sannyasi associating with a king will enhance the reputation of the sannyasi. Oh, the sannyasi is associated with the king. He must be a great person. He must be a valuable sannyasi. He must be having some important message. So, Srila Prabhupada met Indira Gandhi because that would help him to further his mission. That would not only give him the reputation, enhance his reputation, but he also had a plan to try to inspire Indira Gandhi to also implement some God-conscious principles in her rule. Similarly, we know Radhanath Maharaj met both the President of India, Pratibha Patil, and then the President of America, Obama. So, here, that's why renunciation is not a static, artificial stoning of one's heart, you know, making one's heart into a stone. It is actually detachment from everything for one's selfish enjoyment. But at the same time, the devotional renunciation, Yukta Vairagya, which is exhibited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is such that he will do whatever is required for the service of the Lord. So now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want his own reputation to be contaminated. But at the same time, he wanted everyone to be delivered. That's why he told Nityanand Prabhu, you know, you go and deliver even the fallen people, the drunkard, the people, the woman hunters, the very, very fallen people. You know, I cannot go and associate with drunkards, I cannot go to a brothel to deliver those people. But you know, even that kind of people you can deliver. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was concerned even about them. But he wanted to protect the reputation of a sannyasi, at the same time have them delivered. That's how he made Nityanand Prabhu and others the instrument of his compassion for that purpose. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's renunciation is very sweetly counterbalanced with his affection. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his renunciation from wealth, he exhibited his renunciation from women, and he exhibited his renunciation from even bodily comforts. He refused to take opulent oil, which Jagadan Pandit gave. At one time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sannyasi would sleep on the floor. So at that time, Jagadan Pandit at one time arranged for a very soft and cozy bed. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu absolutely refused to take that bed. So, he did not take any bodily comforts for himself also. And he set the example of renunciation and he inspired the Goswamis. You know, it was his renunciation which was the cause and the inspiration for the Goswamis' extraordinary renunciation. You know, in the Bilwa Mangal Thakur's Govind Damodar Stotra, there is a beautiful verse which describes how even a devotee can be renounced. He says that Vatambu Parna Shanaputa Deha Mule Tarunam Munaya Patanti Govinda Damodar Madhaveti. So he described that these rishis, what do they eat? They eat Vata Ambu Parna Ashana. Ashana means to eat. Vata is air. So they practically eat air, and then Ambu is water, and Parna is leaves. Vata Ambu Parna Ashana Puta Deha. In this way, by eating these three things, very austere. Can you imagine eating air? You know, we just keep breathing air and we don't even think of it as a diet. And water, we don't think, we need water for our body, but we don't think of that as food. We think that is something additional to food. And okay, what is the food that they are taking? That is Parna. Parna is leaves. So these renunciates, they eat these three things. Vat Amba Purna Ashana Deha, Parna Ashana Puta Deha. Their body becomes purified. And Mule Taruna Munaya Patanti. They sit under the trees. Mule Taruna. At the foot of the trees they sit. And they chant Govinda Damodara Madhaveti. So it is described then when Vishwamitra Muni was earlier Kashyap, King Kaushik, he went to meet Valmiki Rishi. At that time Valmiki's ashram, he saw there were renunciates of different caliber. The first caliber of renunciates were those who would eat only vat ashan, they would eat only air. The second caliber of renunciates were those who would eat only ambu, water. And the lowest caliber of renunciates were those who would eat leaves. So that was Vedic culture at the time of Ramayana in Trita Yuga, that a renunciate who eats leaves is considered to be a low quality renunciation. Low quality renunciate. We can't even imagine this in our ages. But we see the Goswamis followed in the footsteps. You know, they also were so austere that they would, Raghunatha Goswami would just eat once in a few days, and that too a little buttermilk. Nothing more. Even the other Goswamis also were very renounced. So that is also one example of renunciation which is exhibited by the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So even abstaining from even basic bodily needs and taking very very little food. But so this is the culture that was exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan, where utterly renounced. But interestingly, within the same Gaudiya Vaishnavism, within the same associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see an apparently entirely different culture in Navadvip and Jagannath Puri. In Jagannath Puri, you know, what would Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? You know, Lord Jagannath is famous for prasad. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he would feed devotees opulently, and devotees would be taking food, he would tell them, serve them more. He was so individual and personal that he knew what every devotee liked, and he would tell the servers, serve that food item to that particular devotee. And similarly, he described that devotees, the love and joy of their lives was to feed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now to feed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and what would he do to, what would they do to feed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? You know, they would cook so many items. And there are many chapters in Chaitanya Charitamrita which are about prasad. The third chapter of the Madhya Leela is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming to the house of Advaita Acharya. And then we know when Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the house of Advaita Acharya, how that sweet pastime happens. So initially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, just give me some lafra vyanjan, just give me some boiled vegetables. And Advaita Acharya feeds him so opulently. And similarly, then the 15th chapter of Madhya Leela is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking prasad at the house of Sarvabhattacharya. And there also he cooks so many items. And he feeds them. And similarly, later on in the Mantya Leela also, there is, I think, chapter 14, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tastes the nectar of Krishna's lips. And what is that chapter, nectar of Krishna's lips? That is actually the saliva that is there in the prasad. That's what is being talked about. So there is the pastime of Jaddu Thakur over there also, about, which is all about prasadam. So there are so many chapters about prasad over there. And interestingly, we see that this aspect of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, of Krishna Bhakti as manifested in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is easily misunderstood. is easily misunderstood. And we see two pastimes about this. You know, there's the 8th chapter of the Antalila where Ramachandra Puri comes and criticizes the Vaishnavas for eating so much. And he criticizes first the Vaishnavas. You would feed them a lot, and the devotees, and that was a culture over there, they would eat. And they would say, oh, senior Vaishnava is serving, how can we say no? They would eat. And then after that, he would say, oh, I had heard that the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat a lot. Now I have seen it myself. And then eventually he found the same fault with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, he saw some ants in the Gambhira, the house of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying, and he said, oh, this sannyasi is eating sweets at night secretly. So then, so he strongly criticized Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And similarly, we see that there is Amogha in the 15th chapter of the Madhya Leela, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been invited at Sarva Bhattacharya's house. So Amogha comes in over there. Amogha is his son-in-law. And he says, this food is enough for 10 or 12 people. And this one sannyasi is eating this. Now what kind of sannyasi is he? He is eating more than a grahastha, more than 10 grahasthas. And he criticizes it. So this aspect of Krishna Bhakti can be easily misunderstood and criticized. So how do we understand this? See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a renunciate, now he would always, like I was telling, Advaitacharya told me, he give me some lafra vyanjan, give me some dried vegetables. And similarly, when he came to the house of Sarvam Bhattacharya, he would say, oh, this, you have offered such nice food to Krishna. You know, I am so grateful for that. In fact, he told Advaitacharya, somebody who can offer this kind of food to Krishna, I will take the dust of his feet on my head. But then he told Sarvam Bhattacharya, okay, now you allow me to sit in some other place and I will take some simple food. Sarvam Bhattacharya said, you know, please take what Jagannath has taken. And similarly, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself expresses some hesitation to take opulent food. And when Ramchandra Puri criticizes him like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reduces his food to practically nothing. And for the devotees, this is like a thunderbolt striking them on their hearts. And at their repeated request, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu increases his food a little bit, and he starts taking a fraction of what he used to take earlier. And finally, when Ramchandra Puri goes away, then all the devotees feel as if a big burden from their head has gone away. And then they all start cooking opulently and feeding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opulently. So now interestingly, if you see further, when Haridas Thakur passes away, that's the 11th chapter, very very touching chapter of the Antalila, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, again he exhibits his a principle higher than renunciation. What is the principle higher than renunciation? You know, generally a dead body is considered to be very contaminated. And even grahasthas, if they come after touching, they don't want to touch a dead body. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi not only touched the dead body of Haridas Thakur, but he danced with it. So that is, so he's exhibiting something higher than renunciation. He's exhibiting spiritual or devotional affection. So now generally when a person passes away, it's a period of mourning, it's a period of sadness. But what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? After Haridas Thakur passes away, you know, he arranges for a big feast. He arranges for a big feast for everyone. And in the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita, not just Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mangala, Chaitanya Bhagavata, in all Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's biographies, this is the only time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally goes to ask for charity. Now, whether Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is traveling in North India, South India, you know, he would never go to the house of any grahastha, please give me some food. Some Brahmana would himself come and invite, please come and take prasad at my house. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, there was a practical competition among the devotees. Please come to our house for prasad. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would never go and ask anybody for food. But this is the only time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally goes to the shopkeepers in Anand Bazaar near Jagannath Puri, and he says, please, I want to celebrate a feast on the occasion of the departure of Chaitanya, of Haridas Thakur. So please give me some charity. And now all the residents of Jagannath Puri know how exalted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. So they think, what an opportunity this is. That, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is coming for begging. So he comes to beg a palmful, but they come with sackfuls. and they want to give so much charity. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time, as he is going from shop to shop, Swarup Damodar comes and says, "My dear Lord, you don't have to beg charity. We will arrange everything. We will arrange opulent feast on all of Chaitanya Haridas Thakur." And then he says, Swarup Damodar goes to the shopkeepers and tells them that, you know, they don't need to give so much because we want to take from everyone. So you give a small quantity, and he takes a small quantity from all the shopkeepers like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here wants to exhibit a higher principle. Now bhakti is not just about renunciation, it is about spiritual affection. And interestingly, you see that how is affection expressed? How is affection expressed? You know, how do we know that two people love each other? You know, generally nowadays we always talk about in a very mundane, a sexual sense, man and woman loving each other. But how can that is a very limited and restricted understanding of love. It's a perversion of love actually. But if we want to know that there is a deep bond between two people, how can we know that? One is, you know, if we see two devotees talking with each other for a long time, sitting and very affectionately talking for a long time, and not just chit-chatting. You know, very intense and intimate talks they are. Then you can understand, oh, these two devotees have a very intimate relationship. So that's one way, you know, when devotees share their hearts with each other. So this is one of the ways in which, two of the six ways in which Rupa Goswami says love is exhibited. Symptom of love is guhyam akhyati pruchyati. We confidentially inquire and share our heart. So just by spending time talking with devotees, and not just talking chit chat, but talking serious intimate things, you know, our relationship develops. That's a reciprocation of emotions and affections develops. That's one. That's one thing he says, sharing one's heart. Second is sharing gifts. Sharing gifts. Giving gifts and receiving gifts. Now, a sannyasi has no possession, so what gifts can he receive and can he give? So actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also expertly exhibits this. Narendra Gunath Das Goswami is very pleased with him. He gives him a Shaligram Shila. He gives him, a Govardhan Shila. He gives him a Gunjamala. You know, he sends prasad to the devotees of Navadvip. Whenever the Navadvip devotees come for 4 months to Puri, and when they are going up, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sends prasad back for Mother Shachi. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gives gifts and receives gifts. And interestingly enough, the third set, or rather the fifth and sixth symptoms of love are what, according to Rupa Goswami? Giving prasad and receiving prasad. So it's interesting that food, or prasad more specifically, is not seen here as a material object. It is seen as an object for the expression and receiving of love. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he would offer prasad to devotees and he would take prasad, he would be exhibiting this higher principle of love, that the devotees would be expressing their love for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by cooking the best possible items and serving them. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would receive their love by taking that prasad. And he would also want to serve devotees, have devotees take the prasad which they like personally. So here is a principle of expression of love at a spiritual level. So generally, now interestingly, from a material point of view, or even from a mundane Vedic culture point of view, mundane in the sense that not devotional, Vedic culture point of view, non-devotional Vedic culture point of view, now Ramachandra Puri and Amogha were right in criticizing, how can a sannyasi eat so much? But actually, they are in one sense spoken of negatively. Generally, you know, it is said that if a devotee goes away, other devotees feel separation from him. But when Ramachandra Puri goes away, devotees feel relief. How is that? That means Ramachandra Puri was not a very much loved person. And I described when Amogha, just for criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like that, what happened? He got jaundice. No, he got cholera. and he was practically on the verge of death. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, went and forgave him and redeemed him. So the point is that where there is a reciprocation of love, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu values that love more than just the material renunciation. So this is a very mysterious and very sweet aspect of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. And you know, this is a very important aspect which we will continue discussing tomorrow. So a devotee is simultaneously detached and attached. He's detached from material things and attached to Krishna. So prasadam can be material, prasadam can be spiritual, depending on our consciousness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu associates as seeing prasadam spiritually. So sannyasi should be detached from food because it is material. But a devotee should be attached to Krishna because and all manifestations of Krishna. And one manifestation of Krishna is prasad. So a devotee should be attached to prasad also. So that's why this is a very sweet aspect of the renunciation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the renunciation is overflowing with spiritual affection. And we will continue this discussion about the affection of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu despite his being renounced tomorrow. And we will see how this applies in our life. In our life, we are at a level where we generally see prasad materially. And therefore, we should try to control our senses as much as possible and eat in a regulated, modest way. But generally, if we see some other devotee eating too much, you know, we should not see that materially. We should not offend that devotee. You know, especially if you are serving prasad to someone, at that time, you know, if that person asks for maybe some more puris or some more sweet or something like that, you know, we should not say that Prabhu, you are doing sense gratification. And that is very, very inappropriate according to devotional culture. Of course, we have to careful as devotees, we are sadhakas, and we have to carefully balance. So how we balance renunciation at a material level and affection at a spiritual level, we will discuss tomorrow. To summarize what we discussed today, so we started by talking about how people may not be attracted to renunciation, but they are attracted to the fruit of renunciation, that is peace. And we saw how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his renunciation in terms of women. He would always keep a distance from women and also from wealth. He did not want to associate with wealthy people. And then from there, he was also renounced about his own bodily facilities. He did not want fragrant oil or soft bed. But while talking about his renunciation of wealthy people, we talked about his affection for Ramananda Rai, although he was wealthy and aristocratic, wealthy and in a governmental post. And then we saw elaborately, with respect to discussion of prasadam, how the renunciation at a material level has to be counterbalanced by affection at a spiritual level. And those who stick to that lower level of wanting to see renunciation at a material level and not see the affection at a spiritual level, they are spoken of negatively in Chaitanya Charitamrita and condemned like Ramchandra Puri and Amogha. So that's why renunciation is a very fine art, and we need to learn that very carefully. You know, sometimes some devotees become brahmacharis and they break the hearts of their parents, and they break it in such a, it is going to be painful, but sometimes they make it extra painful by being very insensitive and very harsh. So we see, if you read Radhakant Maharaj's book, we see how he's so loving towards his parents. So that renunciation has to be always balanced with affection. And how the two can be balanced, we will discuss more tomorrow. So thank you very much. Is there any one question? We are a little over time today because we started a little late, adjusting the Skype took time. So should we stop here and we will have question answers tomorrow after the class? After. Hare Krishna. So is there any question or should we take question answers tomorrow then? Because it's already a little time. Okay, just check with other devotees. Any of you want to go, we can continue tomorrow in case you have college today. So please note down your question. Please note down your question, and we will have more time for question answers tomorrow. So thank you very much. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hari Bol.